This little girl, to me, is a picture of someone who is all in, right? I can just imagine a few seconds before this picture was taken, you know, she's on the dock. You can see that her hair is still dry. And you know, the first time that you jump into a lake, it is always cold, right? So there's a little bit of fear and trepidation before you jump in. But you can see that she is all in. There is no going back, right? And there's a smile on her face, because even though there probably is a little trepidation, she knows that she's going to have the time of her life. It is going to be fun. She is all in. And I want to share with you today that I am all in on this Christ the King Sunday. I'm all in to do the Lord's work. Now you might say, well, that's what a pastor is supposed to do. But I'm all in to do the Lord's work because that's what God has called us to do. In our text, he said, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord's work is the only work that matters. So, all of you who aren't working at church, sorry, it doesn't matter. Is that what I'm saying? No. But whatever you're doing in life, whether you are working or going to school, or you work in your home, those things only can produce temporary benefits, right? Eventually, they're all going to go away. But the Lord's work is the only work that offers eternal benefits and produces something eternal. Now, what did the Apostle Paul mean when he said, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord? Why is it that only the Lord's work really matters? Well, to understand that, we have to first of all think of the work that Jesus did for us. The work that Jesus did for us is certainly brought home to, for me, by the gospel lesson for today. You know, I smiled when I heard Pastor Keel end the gospel lesson with, this is the gospel of the Lord. Because you remember how that lesson ends? Bring these people here in front of me and kill them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Whoa. Jesus wasn't speaking gospel at that point, was he? He was saying to every one of us who don't always completely think that the Lord's work is the only work that really matters, he's saying to us who have to admit that very often the temporary benefits that our work and school produce become very important to us, and we kind of lose sight of God's eternal blessings that he wants to give us. Jesus is saying to us, you deserve to die. That's true of me. It's true of you. I read it again this week, Ezekiel 18. It's a frightening chapter. It says, the soul that sins is the one who will die. But what is the Lord's work? The Lord's work is that Jesus stepped into that death for us, right? The Lord's work is that Jesus became a human being so that he could suffer not just physical punishment on the cross. Sometimes we play up the physical punishment of the cross so much that we forget that the highest punishment, the worst that he endured, was the eternal and spiritual separation from God his Father. That's what he said when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was experiencing death. He was stepping into the death that you and I deserve. That's the Lord's work. And because he died in your place and in mine, we'll never die. Isn't that great? Now, for those of you who just lost loved ones in death recently, that's a preposterous thought. You'll never die. But that's what Jesus said, right? John 11, he's talking to a good friend of his, Martha, who has just lost her brother, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. You see, the Lord's work that Jesus came to do was to give us the eternal benefits and produce something eternal. That's you and me. And when the Apostle Paul says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, be all in, he's saying that because Jesus did his work, you and I can do that same kind of work. That we can offer eternal benefits and produce something eternal. That's what the Lord's work really is that we offer a life that will never end to people just like us who face the prospect of death. And we produce something eternal. Because as people come to faith in Christ, we know that they're going to live forever. Now, this work is not just work that you do here at church. You know, I didn't mean to downplay the work that you do in your everyday life. And that was brought home to me by a good friend of mine who was just talking with me recently about the layoffs at Northwestern Mutual. A lot of you know that hundreds of people are going to lose their jobs or have already lost their jobs at Northwestern Mutual. And people have asked him why he doesn't seem to be so worried like the rest of the people. Now, he's certainly concerned about his job. But you see, what happens at Northwestern Lutheran or Northwestern Mutual is not simply financial stuff and selling insurance. That stuff happens. But the really important work that happens at Northwestern Mutual is the work that can happen in your homes and in your places of work. The really important work that happens there is that Christians live their lives in such a way that the people around them see the hope that you have. And they either ask you or they ask other Christians. You see, that's our real work, isn't it? In whatever way possible, to draw the people around us closer to Christ. And I'm all in because this is work that is guaranteed to be successful. You know, you can't always be successful at work. You can't always be successful in church plans either. But the Lord's work is always successful. That's what the Apostle Paul brings out in this text. He says, you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. How do we know that? Paul begins by saying, therefore. That's how the sentence starts. This is the conclusion to a long resurrection chapter. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, because you and I are going to rise from the dead, you and I can be certain that our labor in the Lord, as we work for the Lord, no matter where we are and what we are doing, that it will never be in vain. That Jesus, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, can accomplish his plan. His work will be done. He has promised that he has chosen people to be saved, and he will accomplish that work. He promises that his word will not come back to him empty, but will accomplish what he desires. What other work can you and I do that has a guarantee of success? That's why I'm all in. And that's why the Apostle Paul was certain that the Christians in Corinth were also all in. That's why I'm certain that you're all in too. Now, the Apostle Paul wraps up this letter by explaining, you know, I know that you're all in, and that has an effect on a plan that we're doing as the early Christian church. The early Christian church was gathering an offering for the Christians in Jerusalem, the Christians in Greece and Macedonia, northern Greece. They were gathering this offering for the poor. It was a major effort. Paul refers to it several different times in his letters. And this is his instruction to them because he knows that they are all in. Let's read this together. Now, about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. As Paul gives us these instructions, he gives us some instruction on what does it mean for us to be all in, specifically as we talk about our Christian giving. This is our one stewardship Sunday focus of the fall. And so what does this mean? Paul says, first of all, do it regularly, every week. And every one of us has this call from God to use what he has entrusted to us, that mina, right? That we set aside a sum of money in keeping with our income, that it's proportionate, and that we save it up, that we have a plan for how we give. So how does that apply to us? What does it mean that we are all in? Well, I love to use the whole concept of the giving ladder. To me, when I saw this, it was just so helpful for me to think through, because being all in for Christ and all in to the Lord's work will look differently for each one of us. It depends to a large degree where you are. For some people who are all in, the next step for you, it's a frightening step, is simply to begin to give. Maybe you have never really given at all. And you think, I don't have very much money. How can I afford to give? And it's frightening. But if you're all in, and Jesus is the King, and the only work that really matters is the Lord's work, let's trust Christ, face our fears, and begin. Many of you have already given, but you know, it's just once in a while, and the Apostle Paul says to give regularly. Maybe the next step up the giving ladder for you is that you start to give regularly. I know for an awful lot of us, what's helped us to give regularly is the online giving. We make that commitment as we go online, and we know that the Lord's work is number one in our budgeting process that way. If you need help making it regular, If that's your step, go online. Maybe you already do give regularly, but you know, you've never really thought about proportionate giving. Do you know what percentage of what God has entrusted to you that you are giving back to the Lord? If not, that's the next step up the ladder. And for many people, as they begin to look at what percentage they give, they're kind of discouraged because maybe it's just 1 or 2%. And maybe the next step is simply to go, I'm going to raise it by 1% this year, and then 1% the next year. You know, and once you start to get up high enough, it starts to get really scary, you know? By the way, I love to see some of you squirming, you know? That's why I have Roger here to hold my ladder, you know? Thank you for shaking. I appreciate that, Roger. You know, I hate heights, by the way. But if you're giving regularly, maybe the goal is, how can I get maybe to 10% what God commanded his Old Testament people to give? Or maybe you're at 10% and you realize, you know what, I'm all in. And I want to do as much as I possibly can because the Lord's work is the only work that really matters. And when you get up this high, then it gets really scary. And that's why I appreciate this promise that God gives us. He encourages us to trust him. Why don't you read this passage with me? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Test me in this. Trust me. Trust me that I can provide for your needs. This is how God answers the fears that naturally rise in our hearts. But fear isn't what motivates us. What motivates us is the fun. You know, I can't tell you how much fun it is to hear you Wisco kids sing and know that I'm a part of that through my offerings. At the 10:45 service, we're going to have dozens of little pre-K kids sing too. And that's fun to think, you know. You're a part of that, aren't you? You're bringing those kids and their families closer to Christ. It's fun to go someplace like Shanghai, like I did a couple of weeks ago, and see 4 people in a hotel room, all who had a connection to St. Paul's, who know the Savior. You see, it's fun to know that this is the work that really matters. And God's allowing me and he's allowing you to be a part of it. And I'd ask you, will you help St. Paul's to be all in? You know, we've got some great, exciting ideas. But to be all in, we'll need to have some idea of what does it look like for hundreds of my fellow Christians to be all in this next year? So that we have a better understanding of the resources God is going to give us. Because the more you try to do, the more frightening it gets, right? And so, could you pick up the offering statements? Take it home, take a look at that. Plan for giving, we put a copy of that in the worship folder. Can you bring it back? Bring it back Thanksgiving, bring it back next Sunday. And let us know what it looks like for you to be all in, so that more than ever St. Paul's can be all in. Because the Lord's work is the only work that really matters. And it's guaranteed to be successful. It's my privilege to tell you that your ministerial team, your elected leaders on the ministry board, they're all in. How about you? Amen. I'll let David take the Apostles' Creed while I carefully go down the steps.